Super duty tough work. Gone for a minute.
Yeah.
Always here though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the building, Printnificence, my illustrious co-host, Logic, you know, and we doing this thing that we do every week, which is help artists become better at what they do. And we talk about things that are going on. No shucking, no jiving, no bullshit. No gossip.
Mm-hmm.
No rumors. No dissing people. You know, we try to be the most constructive, most productive podcast out there. And that comes at a small price, which is we will never appeal to the masses. We will never appeal to the casual podcast listener who just wants to hear industry gossip. We ain't got nothing for y'all. However, we have a small, dedicated fan base of people who trust us to inspire them to share our stories every week and to encourage them to pursue their craft and what they love.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, it's more rewarding than a bunch of people coming to you for gossip and bullshit, if you ask me. So, here we are again, doing this thing every fucking week with a brand new episode. Logic, yeah. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. You know, my body is super sore. Did yard work all day yesterday.
Damn, one of those.
And it was the first, like, you know, we did mulch and... Ooh. All, you know what I'm saying? Got the house. You know what I'm saying? So we did it real yard work.
Yeah, like, spring joint. Not just, first joint of the spring.
Yeah.
Where you got like
not
set
cutting
it up.
Grass.
No, yeah. No. Yeah.
Not just cutting grass. Like cutting grass, doing
edging, you know, trimming the hedges.
Treating the yard for, you know what I'm saying? All of that stuff. So my back is sore, legs are sore.
Damn.
Arms is, you know, it was a nice workout though. You know what I'm saying? Definitely a nice workout.
You got it in for it rained today too.
Yeah. I knew it was gonna rain today, so yesterday was the day. But yeah, I mean, everything looks nice. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nice, man.
It looks like, you know, looks like some people that care about their place live here. You know,
this is such a grown man conversation. This is such an adult conversation. You're talking about yard work and doing, you know.
Mulching.
I can relate, bro. You know I can relate.
I know.
Yeah, we're grown. We're a grown ass man. Whole ass man up here having conversations about yard work. But it's real. That's what you got to do on the weekends, or else if you don't get it right at the beginning of spring,
mm-hmm.
by the time you get to June, July, it's out of control.
No, it's
too
bad.
Late. Too late.
Horrible. Man, I ain't never felt so much pride in buying a hose. This is a water hose for my crib. Because it's a nice hose, too. Like, it's super nice. Got the nice little head on it to spray. Yeah, it's super nice. Like, I felt so much pride in putting my hose in. Like, yeah, this joint is fire.
Yeah, I ain't never felt that when I bought no piece of equipment for the crib. I ain't never felt that. That's some different shit. But I ain't never had a real nice hose. So maybe I need to buy a real nice hose.
It's super nice, man.
Okay.
It's super nice. Super nice. Watering my lawn, like, this is fire. Like,
yeah, I wanna feel like that. I ain't never felt
the different nozzles and stuff. Like, it was kind of cool.
Okay, duly noted. Get you a nice hose, Al. I'm gonna get me a nice hose now.
Yeah, man.
All right, man, let's start this show where people get mad because these people know they can't relate to this shit. Some of you motherfuckers cannot relate to this conversation about hoses and nozzles and shit.
Yard and mulch and shit.
Mulch. Yeah. People are like, my landlord do that. We don't do that shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
But yeah, man. So this week, we are talking about a topic that has been in the fucking news for months. Bubbling. And we've touched on it a little bit. But this is another one that we got to go in on. And this is, again, about artificial intelligence. This week, the topic of the show is the industry strikes back against AI. One of the things, you know, that has stopped me from talking about this topic more frequently is that, you know, we're watching it in real time roll out. We're watching, and it's even faster than what many would expect, you know? And so the changes that AI has made to many industries just in the last several months, especially the entertainment industry, have been tremendous. But everyone and had to know that at some point there would be some resistance, right? And so I wanted to wait to see what the response was to some of this stuff before we talked about it. And we have some resistance in the industries, I should say, towards this incredibly fast, incredibly dangerous to copyright owners movement and momentum that we see with AI. And, you know, this episode, we don't have a lot of conclusions, but we just want to go through some of these stories, three stories that kind of illustrate some of the resistance that's starting to form. It's not there. We don't know how it's going to play out. But we'll talk about what's going on in these situations, and we'll talk about our thoughts on it, where it is and where we think it could go. But we're reaching a new phase in this thing where now we're getting some resistance to the AI. And I think this is a very important phase. This is where, you know, it's all fun and games until somebody, you know, put their foot down and say, nah, no more, you know? Mm-hmm. And so this week we're talking about, you know, the industry strikes back against AI. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
We got you stuck off the realness, the most infamous, you heard of us. Official podcast murderers, the show comes equipped with viewpoints to share. Grown man ideas for all those who care and want to grow. So go ahead and download every single week with a brand new episode. You're not alone in this world, cousin. So we share information and honest discussion and keep repping a culture like we supposed to. They spread gossip, but they never come close to. I can hear it inside their tone. They talk about the industry but never left their home. You get laced up with bullet points and such, plus empowering topics that they never would touch. You can put your whole network against a team, but Super Duty Tough Work's the MVP. Most valuable podcast on MP3. Priceless info, but all of it's free. So take these words home and think them through. Super Duty Tough Work is coming at you. Now listening to Super Duty Tough Work with your host, Blueprint. Raw and uncut, adult conversations. No shucking, no jiving, and no bullshit.
All right, folks, we're back. Super Duty Tough Work, Blueprint, Logic. This week we're talking about the industry strikes back against AI. The first story we want to read is from musictech.com, and the title of this article is Young Guru Criticizes AI-Generated Jay-Z, quoted as saying, "People should not be able to take your name, image, and likeness without permission." And the article goes like this. Producer and DJ Young Guru has spoken against an AI-generated fake verse which emulated the style of Jay-Z, expressing concerns for people taking the likeness of people's art. Young Guru won a Grammy Award in 2019 for Best Urban Contemporary Album for mixing Everything Is Love by The Carters, a joint project between husband and wife music icons Jay-Z and Beyoncé. The producer had previously expressed concern over an AI-generated Kendrick Lamar voice emulation in a video on Instagram, and has now shared his thoughts on the viral AI verse in the style of Jay-Z. He wrote in an Instagram post, "On one hand, I'm well aware that you can't stop technology. Once the genie is out of the box, you can't put him back in. On the other hand, we have to protect the rights of the artists. Not only the artists, but everyone in society." He continued, "People should not be able to take your name, image, and likeness without permission. We have to add the voice to this law. We have to learn from past mistakes. You will be a fool to chase every person that is going to do this. We learned that lesson with Napster. The only way I see to deal with it is to change the law. There are so many different opinions. We could change the United States law tomorrow, but the internet is worldwide. What a time we live in." Read his post below. It says, in a late in a In late March, over 1,000 technology leaders called for a pause on AI development in an open letter due to the profound risks to society and humanity it presents, including tech giant Elon Musk. The technology has grown exponentially over the last year, now with entire radio shows able to be powered entirely by AI. Artists amongst young guru who are also cautious of the difficulties the tech may have on the music industry include Deadmau5, and even Nick Cave, who called for AI to fuck off and leave songwriting alone. What are your thoughts, Illogic?
I think it's a sticky subject, mainly because is there a difference between this and sampling?
Yes,
there is a difference, but slight difference, and the difference is because it's the voice.
Well, I think there's two differences. That's one of them.
Yeah,
the difference to me is people are using the names of these artists.
The name and the voice, yes.
When they do it to promote them.
Yeah.
Here is a Jay-Z thing. Yeah. Here is a Drake verse. Here is a Kendrick Lamar verse over my... That's where I think they get into trouble.
Yeah. I can see that.
Right? Because you could... If you were to do it, like you're saying, it would be no different than... It will fall under sampling. Like, we don't sample people and say, here's a motherfucking Ahmad Jamal
song.
Yeah. Oh, Ahmad Jamal's flip featured on my album.
Right.
That's the difference where I think the AI people are getting into this sticky thing now.
Unless you get permission from the artist. Right. And that's where I was going to go, is that I think going forward, if you have an artist's permission to do some shit like this, or if an artist is posthumous, you know what I'm saying? If somebody's dead.
Yeah.
And you get permission from the family or you know what I'm saying? Like, then I'm all for it. You know what I'm saying? As long as it's within the confines of law and, you know, you're not just stealing someone's name and voice. But you can't just go out there and just take somebody's shit and then claim it's a Jay-Z verse that wasn't even written by him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I think there's a line crossed, is when it's taking the name.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my thoughts on it, because, yeah, like, we sample people, but we don't say featuring Ahmad Jamal, featuring Bob James, featuring Quincy Jones. We sample them and we don't want nobody to know.
Right. It's kind of hard with somebody's voice to
You know, and so they're putting it out there. They're using these people's name and their voice. This is where the copyright law, I think, gets a little. Is going to have to fall under interpretation at some point of a judge at some point. That voice qualifies as likeness, you know, because copyright law is very clear in terms of the use of, it says, you know, it gives you, but the word likeness does not necessarily end at how you physically look. Right? Like, some people will interpret that, say, oh, I didn't use your likeness. I didn't use a picture of you to promote the record. I didn't use, you know what I mean? Right. But your voice is what I think the angle will be. Your voice is your likeness.
Yeah, it is.
Your style of, right? And the fact, and they can't say they weren't trying to make it sound like them when they used his name to promote it. This is a Jay-Z verse. It's likeness.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, they're, especially the artists that they're doing these interpolations, you know, you can't mistake Jay-Z's voice for somebody else.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You can't mistake Drake for somebody else.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Kanye has a very distinct, you know what I mean, way that he does. You can't say, like, oh, that's not Kanye. Come on, man.
Yes.
Come on. Yeah. Like, we know these artists back and forth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, it's going to be interesting how they interpret this and write laws for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's courageous for, like, somebody on Guru's level to get out there and say, hey, this ain't it, early. Because even if we look at it right now, there are not a lot of artists saying this has to stop immediately. I mean, Drake said something, I believe. He was like, nah. But I think that, like, the collective, you know, whatever, industry of artists has to be united and be able to look forward enough to say, you know what, man? This might not be good for us in the long term.
Oh, it's not.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's not.
Like, okay, production, AI, cool tools that we use, but to be able to create someone else's art, get paid off of it, up like I'm gonna make a whole Logic album. I'm unknown producer, but I always loved the Logic. I'm gonna have a whole a Logic album I'm gonna put out. I'm gonna put his name on it. I'll probably jack his fucking picture or something and put it on the album cover. And now I'm getting paid, getting my name off of that. That's dangerous.
That's very dangerous. And as music artists, they need to make sure they read their contracts now.
Yeah.
Because they could have AI clauses in contracts to where, you know, even say you have this album due.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Your contract is, and you have an album due. It could be a clause in your contract that if you don't turn in said album by said date, we have permission to generate an album via AI with your voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can do shit like that.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
That shit is possibilities. You know, there's possibilities with that.
Yeah. Because you'd be, what I think it's going to come down to is it's going to come down to what is copyright law now, and does copyright law encompass what AI is able to do. If so, then maybe no laws have to change. Maybe no contracts have to change. You own your master recording, meaning you own your voice and your likeness. But the issue, it's going to come down to interpretation.
Yeah,
but yeah,
very much so.
This is a pretty interesting story, man. So those of you at home, you know, that's the first story. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back with another story.
Sure.
Be back in a second. Quick announcement. Over the years, we've frequently been asked by the listeners of our show if we would ever open up our platform to the public for advertising. We've always been interested in doing it, but in the past, we never had the systems in place to make it work properly. I'm proud to announce that we are now officially accepting advertising from the public on Super Duty Tough Work. Meaning, if you are a business owner or an artist and would like to create more awareness about your product, service, or release on our platform, we're now in a position to be able to do that. For more information, email us at superdutytoughwork@waitlist.net. That's superdutytoughwork@waitlist.net. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you would like to promote, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible about whether it's a good fit and go from there. Thanks for your time. Back to the show. Are you an artist who has the talent to succeed but has a hard time executing? Do you have the will to win but lack the plan? Are you tired of having great ideas that never come to fruition, or starting new projects but never finishing them? If you answered yes to any of these questions, reach out to me at superdutytoughwork@waitlist.net to book a one-on-one coaching call. Tell me a little bit about who you are, what you're trying to do, and I'll see if I can be of service to you. Have a great day. Super Duty Tough Work. Back again. This week we're talking about the industry striking back at AI. For weeks, for months, we've been hearing glowing story after glowing story. A lot of propaganda about how ChatGPT is going to make everything extinct. Everything is going to make everybody's life better, and you're just going to be able to wake up and your coffee will be made, and some AI, you type in a ChatGPT and a fucking banana will just pop up in your fucking, you know, hand like magic. And
Star Trek. It's about to turn into Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so, you know, we're getting to that point where everybody's like, oh, this is the future. But you got to understand, like, whenever you see, like, so many institutions pushing something so hard, something wild is going on behind it. You know, it's kind, it kind of reminds me, you know, of like the weed legalization conversation. And somebody had this quote. He said, look, man, if the government is telling you to do it, you know something fucked up. Whenever these motherfuckers start promoting something, you got to be like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I don't know about y'all, man. Look, man, I don't trust this shit. And I'm just paranoid enough to be like, nah, something's up with this AI. They pushing this a little too hard. And ain't nobody saying shit.
Yeah.
So the next article we're going to read is of is titled Spotify, Apple Music, Take Down AI-Generated Song. It says, the crackdown begins on generating a new song from copyrighted music. Okay, it says, streaming platforms including Spotify, Apple Music, and Tidal have scrambled to take down an AI-generated song replicating the voice of two popular artists just 1 week after a major label threatened legal action. Published by an entity known as Ghostwriter, the song Hard on My Sleeve features the vocals of Drake and The Weeknd with AI used to replicate their voices. The song began to quickly take off and was widely shared on TikTok, as well as amassed a quarter of a million plays on YouTube. On Spotify, it received 625,000 plays and quickly hit the 100,000 mark on SoundCloud. The song's listing on various streaming platforms does not reference the names of the artists whose voices were replicated for the song. However, postings to YouTube and TikTok do. The song has since been taken down. At the time of writing, it is still visible on Spotify, but the play button and track are grayed out, meaning users cannot play it. Apple Music, Deezer, and Tidal have all joined Spotify in taking down the track. Last week, Universal Music Group, which represents both Drake and The Weeknd, wrote to platforms such as Spotify and Apple Music to threaten legal action if they began training AI services on copyrighted music without permission. While the platforms themselves did not create this particular AI track, the legal threat would apply if they were to launch AI-generated music in the future. It is unknown whether Universal Music Group, UMG, is behind the mass removal of Ghostwriter's song. AI Business has contacted UMG for comment. The record label has previously asked YouTube to remove a video of an AI-generated track of Eminem's voice rapping about cats. To take down a video, a rights holder would have to formally ask the platform to remove it. Traditionally, a rights holder would be the one to strike the video, meaning the person who made the content cannot monetize it. While Ghostwriter's song has been taken down, one example of a popular AI-generated tune still in circulation is Boy's a Liar Part 2, Biden and Obama version from YouTubers collectively called Shmoyoho. The song features U.S. Presidents Joe Biden and Barack Obama rapping Ice Spice's number one hit, amassing almost a million views. That article is from AI Business.
Crazy.
What are your thoughts?
I think it's interesting. Like, this is one of those situations where if this dude maybe would have reached out to Drake in The Weeknd and said, yo, I got this idea, maybe y'all could do this song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the songwriting game can change in that way.
Right.
To where you can create music for artists and send them a demo of it, AI generated with their voice,
yes,
singing the lyrics, like, yes, yo, this would be dope for you.
Yeah.
Doing it that way, he might have got paid.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's actually probably a brilliant use of it. That would be the best use of it.
Yes.
To make realistic demos of songs for people to pitch to them,
yeah,
to where they would no longer have to guess, how do I sound over this beat?
Right.
What do people think about me over this kind of, you wouldn't even have to ask. Like, here's it. This is you, yep, over this.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you don't like it, we'll throw it away. If you do, if you do like it, then, you know, let's work something out.
You can re-record it.
Yeah.
You can record it.
Yeah. You know, and, but yeah, I think that's the right way. Mm-hmm. And that's what may happen down the line. But I think this step right here where, because for the last 2-3 months, I never got the impression that the labels were really doing anything.
Oh, they're not going to do nothing until they see it making money.
Yes.
They won't say shit until they see it making money. And then they're like, they going to be like, oh, whoa, you cutting into our pie a little bit. Yeah. Hold on for a second, bro.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Yeah. 625,000 on Spotify, mm-hmm. million on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
100,000 on SoundCloud. They was like, hey, hold on now.
Hold up.
We gotta talk a little bit. Just, we gotta talk. Okay, y'all doing a little too well over there, man. Y'all eating off them numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they got artists who ain't getting them numbers. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they like, no sir.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, it's we was talking before about Timbaland doing the a Biggie song.
Yes.
Using Biggie's voice. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little clip, and a lot of people are, you know, iffy about it. But I think Timberland's smart enough to where he probably got permission.
Oh, you know, he could, because he's that connected.
To where he could. Now, he might not have got permission when he made it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't think Timberland would post something like that that could open him up to any legal issues without, you know what I'm saying, first doing some type of checks and balances. And even if he didn't at first, he could.
Yeah, but you know, it's so new though. What if he just, and maybe that's why, like you're saying, he didn't upload it. He just posted in a clip in the background or something playing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just playing off of his machine. So he probably didn't get permission for that.
Yeah, that maybe that's why he did it that way. Like, hey, this is just something in the lab I'm fucking around with, because to release it.
Oh yeah.
He'd be done for.
Yeah, that wouldn't be smart. But I think that is, see, the thing with technology, especially when you're dealing with something that's authentic as hip hop,
mm-hmm.
is that there is a very big resistance to technology when you're talking about hip hop. Like, even like diehard DJs hated DJ controllers, hated Serato at first.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it took away from the essence of what they were doing. But then, you know, down the line, they realized, damn, this, I don't got to lug around all these records. I don't got to, you know what I'm saying? Like, let me embrace this. You know, for some singers, auto-tune, everybody hated auto-tune. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. But now it's used as a tool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the people that really can sing use it as a tool. It's not a crutch.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the thing about technology and music and art is about the utilizing of it as a tool and not utilizing it as the entirety of whatever you're doing.
I agree.
I think that's where, you know, we're going to have to get to a point, where that's the thing, because honestly, you know, you mess with the company, man, Justin Hunt.
Yeah. For real. Yep.
He did a little thing about AI, and there was an artist, that she created an AI version of her voice and utilized it for harmonies in her album.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? So there's ways to use it. But when you start doing shit like this,
right,
and making songs with people without permission and then putting it up and trying to, come on, man.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. The backlash is going to be much more extreme because people took it to such an extreme extent.
Yeah.
And that line you mentioned about using it as a tool, not a crutch. When you do that, where they've been taking it with these songs, they're not even using it to exploit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not even using it as a crutch nor a tool. They're using it to exploit other people's name, careers, to bring publicity to themselves or to make money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think it gets funny. It gets funny because, you know, these major labels, they are billion-dollar corporations, and they have enough money to shut things down.
Yep.
And so,
until they can find a way to benefit from
it. Exactly. Until they want to, it's just like Napster, right?
Yep.
Shut Napster down until mm-hmm. we can be the one to distribute these MP3s.
Mm-hmm.
When we can distribute them, oh yeah, shit, we ain't got a problem with MP3s. We just had a problem with Napster doing it.
Right.
We didn't have the technology to do it. So, but still, we could let them do it.
Right.
You know, and you notice, like, in this article, it talked about how Universal Music Group told these streaming services to not invest in, like, AI-generated shit. Basically saying, like, they threatened to take legal action if they began training AI services on copyright music. Mm-hmm. They're thinking way ahead. They're not, mm-hmm. this is not just about taking down.
Yeah, this one song.
This is about streaming platforms who already have so much power generating their own versions of songs themselves and making bread off that streaming shit and cutting everybody else out. That's what it's about. They see that. They're like, you're not even allowed to participate in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because we know y'all want to cut us out anyway. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting, man. So that's the second article, man. We'll take a break and we'll be right back with the third joint.
Where?
What's up, everybody? Got some big news to share with you all today. I'm proud to announce that for the first time, I will be opening up my artist coaching and consulting services to the public. I have been doing it for several years behind the scenes, helping artists and small businesses achieve their goals, but it's never been something that I made publicly available, nor anything that I promoted until now. So, if you're an artist or a small business owner, I'm now available to be booked for one-on-one sessions designed to help you achieve your goals as quickly and as efficiently as possible. If this is something that you're interested in, email me at superdutytoughwork@waitlist.net. Tell me a little bit about yourself and we'll get the ball rolling from there. I look forward to working with you all. Peace. This is your weekly reminder that we have two books that you, as a listener or watcher of this podcast, need to absolutely own. The first is The 10 Traits of Successful Hip Hop Artists. And the second is The Social Media Cheat Code. Both of these books were released within the last year. The 10 Traits of Successful Hip Hop Artists is a book where I go through the stories and explain the traits that are behind the success of some of the biggest names in hip hop today. The book has got nothing but amazing feedback. And if you are an artist, business person, whatever you do, if you would like to be inspired and would like to learn more about hip hop along the way and also see some reinforcement of the concepts that we talk about on this podcast, The 10 Traits of Successful Hip Hop is for you. Second book is The Social Media Cheat Code. That is for everyone who listens to this podcast who does not consider themselves an expert or really good at social media. It's not for super experienced people. It's actually for people who are on social media but are not getting the results you need. So what we did is I broke down like 12 or 13 strategies that I use all the time that actually work really well for me. I put it into book. I gave you examples and I tell you how to implement it. That's a book you absolutely need as a listener to this podcast, watcher of this podcast. If you're on YouTube, supporting these books actually goes a long way towards supporting the podcast. So to support the show, if you like what we do, obviously we don't necessarily get paid to do this shit. So support the products and services that we create. And these two books are a big part of that. We appreciate your support. And back to the show.
Yeah, you know, that's where my mind went. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I wasn't thinking about nobody else's voice. I'm thinking about my own. Like, how can I use this to make my shit tighter?
Yeah, can I make it listen to all these records so I ain't got to?
You know what I'm saying?
We come up with some AI to find loops on records so I ain't got to.
Right, you plug like a bunch of your beats in there. These are the kind of loops that I like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Analyze all. This is my record collection. Put the names of the songs in, the albums in. Analyze these records and find loops and shit for me to chop.
Straight please. Up. The AI loop finder. That now you cooking.
Now you cooking with grease.
Yes. I'm all AI. You create that shit, I'll be the biggest AI advocate.
Straight up, yo. Straight up.
Yeah, man. All right, folks. We back. This last article, you know, we are music industry people. But as we said, you know, this AI thing is very far reaching. And we are now, for those of you who have been paying attention, we have seen some resistance to this now in the film industry. And so this next article is titled TV and Film Writers Are Fighting to Save Their Jobs from AI. They Won't Be the Last. This article came out May 4th. And it's on CNN.com. And it says, by any standard, John August is a successful screenwriter. He's written such films as Big Fish, Charlie's Angels, and Go. But even he is concerned about the impact AI could have on his work. A new powerful crop of AI tools trained on vast troves of data online can now generate essays, song lyrics, and other written work in response to user prompts. While there are clearly limits on how well AI tools can produce compelling creative stories, these tools are only getting more advanced, putting writers like August on guard. Screenwriters are concerned about our scripts being the feeder material that is going into these systems to generate other scripts, treatments, and write story ideas. August, a Writers Guild of America committee member, told CNN, The work we do can't be replaced by these systems. August is one of the more than 11,000 members of the WGA who went on strike Tuesday morning, bringing an immediate halt to the production of some television shows and possibly delaying the start of new seasons of others later this year. WGA is demanding a host of changes from the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, the AMPTP, from an increase in pay to receiving clear guidelines around working with streaming services. But as a part of their demands, the WGA is also fighting to protect their livelihoods from AI. In a proposal published on the WGA's website this week, the labor union said AI should be regulated so it can't write or rewrite literary material, can't be used as source material, and that writers' work can't be used to train AI. August said the AI demand was one of the last things added to the WGA list, but that it's clearly an issue writers are concerned about and need to address now rather than when their contract is up again in 3 years. By then, he said, it may be too late. WGA said the proposal was rejected by the AMPTP, which countered by offering annual meetings to discuss advancements in the technology. August said the AMPTP's response shows they want to keep their options open. In a document sent to CNN responding to some of the WGA's asks, AMPTP said it values the work of creatives and their best stories are original, incitement, and often come from people's own experiences. AI raises hard, important creative and legal questions for everyone, it wrote. Writers want to be able to use this technology as part of their creative process without changing how credits are determined, which is complicated given AI material can't be copyrighted. So it's something that requires a lot more discussion, which we've committed to doing. It added that the current WGA agreement defines writer as a person and that AI-generated material would not be eligible for writing credit. The writer's attempt at bargaining over AI is perhaps the most high-profile labor battle yet to address concerns about the cutting-edge technology that has captivated the world's attention in the 6 months since the public release of ChatGPT. Goldman Sachs economists estimate that as many as 300 million full-time jobs globally could be automated in some way by the newest wave of AI. White-collar workers, including those in administrative and legal roles, are expected to be the most affected. And the impact may hit sooner than some think. IBM CEO recently suggested that AI could eliminate the need for thousands of jobs at his company alone in the next 5 years. Dave Gunkel, a professor at the Department of Communications at Northern Illinois University who tracks AI in media and entertainment, said screenwriters want clear guidelines around AI because they can see the writing on the wall. AI is already displacing human labor in many other areas of content creation, copywriting, journalism, SEO writing, and so on, he said. The WGA is simply trying to get out in front of and to protect their members against technological unemployment. While film and TV writers on Hollywood may currently be leading the charge, professionals in other industries will almost certainly be paying attention. There's certainly other industries that need to be paying close attention to the space, said Rowan Curran, an analyst at Forrester Research who focuses on AI. He noted that digital artists, musicians, engineers, real estate professionals, and customer service workers will all feel the impact of generative AI. Watch this WGA strike carefully, Justine Bateman, a writer, director, and former actress, wrote in a tweet shortly after the strike kicked off. Understand that our fight is the same fight that is coming to your professional sector next. It's the devaluing of human effort, skill, and talent in favor of automation and profits. AI in film and TV. AI has had a place in Hollywood for years. In the 2018 Marvel Avengers Infinity Wars film, The Face of Thanos, a character played by actor Josh Brolin, was created in part with the technology. Crowd and battle scenes in films including The Lord of the Rings and Meg have utilized AI, and the most recent Indiana Jones used it to make Harrison Ford's character appear younger. It's also been used for color correction, finding footage more quickly during post-production, and making improvements such as removing scratches and dust from footage. But AI in screenwriting is in its infancy. In March, a South Park episode called Deep Learning was co-written by ChatGPT, and the tool was highly focused on the plot. The characters used ChatGPT to talk to girls and write school papers. August said writers are largely willing to play ball with tools as long as they're used as launching pads or for research, and writers are still credited and utilized throughout the production process. Screenwriters are not Luddites, and we've been quick to use new technologies to help us tell our stories, August said. We went from typewriters to word processors happily, and it increased productivity. But we don't need a magical typewriter that types scripts all by itself. Because large language models are trained on text that humans have written before and find patterns in words and sentences to create responses to prompts, concerns around intellectual property exist too. It is entirely possible for a chatbot to generate a script in the style of a particular kind of filmmaker or scriptwriter without prior consent of the original artist or Hollywood studio that holds the IP for that material, Gunkel said. For example, one could prompt ChatGPT to generate a zombie apocalypse drama in the style of David Mamet. Who should get credited for that? August said. What happens if we allow a producer or studio executive to come up with a treatment or pitch or something that looks like a screenplay that no writer has touched? For now, the legal landscape remains very much unsettled on the matter, with regulations lagging behind the rapid pace of AI development. In early April, the Biden administration said it is seeking public comments on how to hold artificial intelligence systems like ChatGPT accountable. We can't protect studios from their own bad choices, August said. We can only protect writers from abuses. Can't AI cross the picket line? The strike and the demands around AI specifically come at a time when both writers and studios are feeling financial pain. Many of the businesses represented by AMPTP have seen drops in their stock price, prompting deep cost cutting, including layoffs. The need to manage costs, combined with addressing the fallout from the strike, might only make the companies feel more pressure to turn to AI for script writing. In the short term, this could be an effective way to circumvent the WGA strike, mainly because large language models, which are considered property and not personnel, can be employed for this task without violating the picket line, Gunkel said. Such an experiment could also show production studios whether it's possible to get by with less humans involved, he said. But Joshua Glick, a visiting professor of film and electronic arts at Bard University, believes such a move would be ill-advised. It would be a pretty aggressive and antagonistic move for studios to move forward with AI-generated scripts in terms of getting writers to come to the negotiating table, because AI is such a crucial sticking point to the negotiations, said Glick, who also co-created Deepfake, Unstable Evidence on Screen, an exhibition at the Museum of the Moving Image in New York. At the same time, I think the result of those scripts would be pretty mediocre at best, he said. However studios react, the issue is unlikely to go away in Hollywood. Film and TV actors' contracts are up in June, and many are worried about how their faces, bodies, and voices will be impacted by AI, August said. As writers, we don't want tools to replace us, but actors have the same concerns with AI, as do directors, editors, and everyone else who does creative work in this industry. The end.
They can't stop it, though. That's this is an interesting thing because, granted, you don't want studios to have to generate their own scripts via AI. But what's stopping a screenwriter from using AI to generate scripts that they turn in to the film industry as their own work?
Well, it's I say the difference is that he's exploiting himself voluntarily.
Right. No, but I'm just saying what's stopping them from doing
that? No, nothing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, nothing's stopping you from doing it, right? Like, just like you mentioned in the last segment, like, you could use AI to write or a chorus or to sing something for you in your voice that maybe mm-hmm. you couldn't sing mm-hmm. to maybe write something that you didn't feel like writing to generate content that you didn't want to generate. That's okay.
Yeah, because I'm doing it to myself.
Right. It's not okay for me to do that. I'm going to generate some shit.
New Greenhouse album.
Yeah, without a Logic. Logic be like, what Greenhouse record? I ain't been over there to record no songs. I know, just ChatGPT.
Shit, you, is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And since you didn't do it, I ain't got to pay you. You know what I mean? Mm. That's the difference. Yeah. Writers, they want the ability to exploit their themselves. Own. Yeah, themselves using AI tools. But mm-hmm. they don't want the industry to be able to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's a scary thing, man. I don't think the scary part is that I don't think we're going to be able to stop it. I don't think that the industry has enough heart to care in the end.
Oh, no. It doesn't. No, it's heartless. There's no moral compass in the music nor Hollywood industry. All you have, but all you have is a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the contract is only as good as your ability to enforce it.
Yeah. Or interpret it initially before you sign it.
Right. And I think that's what I think these writers know that you can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they're looking for. Is
there some regulation?
Yeah. Language in place.
Mm-hmm.
Procedures in place to where everybody knows these things are frowned upon mm-hmm. and legally not allowed.
Yeah.
Their ability to regulate it, I don't think is going to be as easy as we think because, as you said, I mean, what's to stop some writer? Let's say I go to Hollywood. I'm a mm-hmm. shitty screenwriter.
Yeah.
Right? I try to flip 20 fucking things. They never work. All of a sudden, Hollywood has this script that's generated by AI.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they can't just submit this script without somebody attached to it. They say, hey, shitty screenwriter Al, we got this script. We want to give you 100 racks to say that to put your name on here as a screenwriter. And we're going to have you sign this NDA
mm-hmm.
so that you can't talk about your writing of this script with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get credit. We're going to break you off because you out here starving in L.A., homie. We know you ain't got no credits.
Yep.
We know this 6 figures could change your life. But it's better than the millions we're going to have to play the human guy.
Right.
And we can't make edits to it without his permission. You take the credit, but you allow us to make edits using our team. Whoop-de-boop. Now you get some fame in pub. Now you get to live another year in Hollywood and try out the next 20 shitty scripts until you get good at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a real thing.
Yeah.
Just like there's ghostwriters in fucking music and rap. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't there be in an industry you're just not going to know who they are? There's going to be people who get credit for it just to keep things legal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to be all fatalistic about it. It's just we're being realistic that these, as you said, these institutions, they don't have morals.
Mm-hmm.
They are not beholden to a moral code. They're beholden to a contract and making money.
That's it.
That's it. Making money for their stockholders and staying within the confines of the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, man. Everything else is fair game.
Yep.
And so, you know, I will say I am glad that the Writers Guild is doing this.
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like I wish we had something like this in the music industry. Where we were unified, where we had we've talked about it on this podcast, having a union and guys moving together on these issues that we can't solve individually, but that impact all of us from top to bottom.
Right.
I wish we had that. We don't. And so we're going to have to sit back and watch. And you know, Hollywood has always, the writers there have always done a great job of protecting their own interests.
Of course.
Much more than the music industry ever has, the writers of the music industry ever has. So,
yeah, it's very different with that.
Yeah.
Very different.
So, you know, I hope they continue to fight the good fight, and I hope that this works out to where that happens. I assume that, you know, they're the entity I would expect to take up the battle there. The major labels are taking it up, you know, on the music industry side. And we'll see where it goes, man. We don't know how this is going to play out.
But see, the difference is the Writers Guild are the actual artists.
Yes. Yes.
The music industry, they will fight it until they can take advantage of it.
Right, right.
That's exactly. The difference.
That's the difference.
Because it's not artists that are, you know, up in arms.
Right.
And, you know, speaking out, you know, rap artists, R&B artists, et cetera. They're not the ones that are speaking out against this, like, you know,
yes,
like the writers are.
Yep.
And that's a very interesting distinction to keep an eye on in the next few years.
yeah it is very true, man. So I hope that this episode has made you think. You know we have creative people from all different realms listening to this. You know, we have people who are visual artists. We have producers, we have engineers, we have rappers, we have singers, we have everything. Listen to this. People who don't even dabble in that thing, but are business people and listen to us. This thing, I think, is very widespread. And I think no matter what you do, if you are creative in any way, this is a conversation that you should be paying attention to. And we all are. And so hopefully you got something out of this, and hopefully you know where things are. And, you know, as things develop, we'll be back.
Word.
But that's it for this week. And we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Super Duty Tough Work. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Follow the podcast on SoundCloud.
Already, that's more complex that nobody know about. I mean, super duty tough work.